Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. Sorry it's a little late, been running around all day, but I'm doing it. I'm trying to keep it all, you know, consistent. But, man, glad to be back. Weird week, but hey, got through it. Ups and downs. But here we are, so as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you for tuning in. I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, enemy, coworker, whoever you know that likes podcasts, I'll get to that later. But yeah, just tell people who like comedy about my podcast. Please, I need more listeners. I'm seeing an uptick still. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Now, real quick. If you're new to my podcast and you happen to have bought a shirt, thank you so much. My Don't Tread on Comedy shirts are doing well. I appreciate the support of all my friends and family. And I don't want to say fans because that sounds a little pretentious. I'm a nobody. I don't have fans. But when I took the shirts to Charlotte, they did really well. I appreciate it. My family appreciates it. And man. Weird week, everybody, but let me get to the milestone for the week before I jump in, you know, bulls deep over here. For those who don't know, I have a now 7-year-old son. His name is Miles, and I like to kind of document things that he's going through, his experiences, you know, if he's just anything new that he's going through, milestones, of course, that's what I call it this. Any highs and lows. Sometimes it's something big. Sometimes it's really nothing. But we recently had a birthday party for him. This was last Friday was fun. I did a fun, cool dad thing. And I remember this happening for me when I was a kid. And it's the dopest shit of all time. When you're sitting in school and you get called down to the principal's office. That's scary. They tell you to bring all your stuff. You go, oh, I'm in so much trouble. You know, when you're in third grade and you're told to get all your stuff and go to the principal's office, that's like, hey, this is it. This is your last day. Clean your cell. What do you want for your last meal? It's like you're getting executed. That's how you feel in third grade when they like grab all your shit and head to the principal's office and you're like, I'm dead man walking. It's over. This is it. And you get down to the office and you see your dad or your mom. But in my case, I saw my dad. And that's even scarier. But then he's like, I'm taking you out of school. We're going to a baseball game. You know, that's the best. I remember that happening to me when I was a kid. My dad pulling me out and was like, hey, man, we're going to go to the Red Wings homo opener. And that's just the best feeling. You know, all your friends are at school, they're hating it, and here you are, you got a couple of hot dogs, you got a pop, you got peanuts, popcorn, you hear the organ going, the crack of the bat, it's just you and your dad, you got your glove, and all your friends are in school, and you're just like, this is the dopest day of my life. Everybody is miserable doing multiplication. I'm sitting here watching baseball. And when that's like, whenever you get to go see your favorite sport as a kid, it's nothing better than that, man. Nothing better than going to see your favorite sport when you're like 9 years old. It's the best. And I wanted to do that for my son. So, like I said before, I'm a huge, I love giving gifts, but I'm the impulsive parent. I can't wait. I get too excited. And I had, we had a busy weekend last weekend. His party was on Saturday. I mean, on Sunday, I'm sorry. He had soccer and something else on, my wife had something to go to on Saturday. And Friday, I was doing shows in D.C. And I was like, I want to watch him play his Switch. I want to see his face when he opens it. So I go and I pull him out of school an hour and a half early. We get home, we got the gifts for him, they are wrapped up, he unwraps it, he sees it's a Switch, he's excited. I didn't get the huge response that I was hoping for, and I think it's because he He knew he was getting one. It wasn't like we were like, I'm sorry, man, you can't get it. We told him this summer, like, just wait for your birthday. So he knew he was going to get one anyway. So he was extremely happy. Just watching him get on it and play it. He's got his Mario Maker 2. He's loving it. It's so much fun just watching him play the game. But at the same time, as a kid who grew up as a gamer, like, I was conflicted. As a dad, I'm like, this is a beautiful moment. He's going to be playing games that I play. We're going to connect on this Mario Nintendo level. And then he starts playing and sucking at it. And my wife sucks at it. And I'm like, I want to divorce both of these people. How is this even possible for them to be that bad at this game? And I get it. My wife hasn't played in 20 years. But it's so much fun. We watch and play as a family. And it was a beautiful moment, man. Just taking him out of school. He was excited. He didn't know what was going on, but it made me feel like a cool dad. And hopefully that's a memory that he'll keep for the rest of his life. And I don't know, man. I think I would like to make this kind of a tradition. You know, if he's in school on his birthday and then things are going well and there's nothing important, just pull him out. Say, hey, it's your birthday, man. Come on. You know, just leave school. Let's go get a burger. Let's go do something. It's your birthday. So that was fun. That felt great. And so I went up to D.C. I did my shows, had a good time, came back, did soccer. Sunday rolls around. We have the party. Oh, Saturday he had a friend stay. Well, my wife's friend's son stayed over. He's 8. They had a good time. They watched some movies. They ate a bunch of candy and, you know, popcorn, and they had Chick-fil-A nuggets, and they built a fort, you know, in the room, and, you know, they had a good time. You know, a lot of, like, parents, they get upset when they see how kids nowadays interact. Like, just because two kids are, like, hanging out and they're both playing, like, their own iPad, it really doesn't mean that they're not having a good time. You know, that's how kids kind of hang out. It's like, yeah, I get it. You want them to go outside and kick a soccer ball around or play basketball or ride bikes. But, you know, we didn't have bikes or anything like that. But they had a good time. They ran around the house. You know, they chased each other with these little stick things. It was fun, man. And even, like, having that experience was like, I want to be one of the dads and the parents that, like, the friends come over here, they hang out, they play games, video games, they watch movies, they eat pizza. Like, I would like to be one of those parents that had that has a house where the kids can come over, it's safe, they can have a good time. Because that's very important growing up, man. We all had that friend, you know, where we could go over to their house and hang out. Their parents were cool, but, you know, they weren't letting crazy shit happen. But still, it's just, that's an important thing, you know, to have those friends, the houses that you can go out and just have a good time and have fun. And your parents aren't worried because they know it's a safe place for you guys. And you're just doing kids stuff, you know. But yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. My mom got him the carrying case for it. My aunt sent him some money. He got Amazon gift cards. He ended up buying the Mario Minecraft that came yesterday. He's been playing that. But yeah. So that was the fun part. Then this week he went to the principal's office for the first time. You know, he gets a little rambunctious. He can have some issues sitting still and paying attention in class and getting a little too hyper. And so we've really been working with him on that. Just looking back, he's kind of struggled with that off and on ever since he started school. Luckily, he doesn't struggle with his schoolwork at all. So it's just trying to figure out what's best for our little boy. I definitely don't want to put him on any medication. So maybe looking at some martial arts or, you know, I don't know. We'll have to talk to the doctor and see what they recommend, but we definitely don't want to put him on any type of medication at all. That would be a last resort. But yeah, so now, not to go too deep off into that. This is I don't want to bum people out, but yeah, it was a fun week. It's got its ups and downs, but man, that's been almost 10 minutes. Sorry. So that's the milestone. I had a great weekend with him. It was fun, and you know, the other side of parenting is working through challenges and providing the best possible environment for your child to succeed. Sorry for stuttering there. So also in the comedy world, I don't know who's aware of it, but SNL announced 3 new cast members, the first ever Asian, another white female, and this guy, Shane Gillis, who recently did JFL. Guess he did well. They wanted to hire him, and, you know, they announced it early in the morning, and, like, within a few hours, he's getting called out for saying racist stuff on the podcast, and, you know, a lot of people had strong opinions about it. I talked about it, and it's just like, look, I get it. We all make mistakes. I don't like the fact that people are getting fired for stuff they said 10, 15 years ago. But in this case, I know with him, it was a year ago. He used a couple of racial slurs, and so, you know, some gay slurs and all this kind of stuff. But it's just like, comics are trying to be funny. And I hear a lot of people now, they're like, oh, I didn't hear, where's the attempt? Now, if he made an attempt to be funny, him using those slurs, we might let it slide. But it's just like, if people, they talk out both sides of their mouth. When Nanette came out, which I enjoyed, I thought it was moving. It wasn't very funny to me, but I enjoyed it. And I thought it was interesting, and I was enthralled with it. I enjoyed it, but I didn't think it was stand-up. And when you said that, a lot of these leftist feminists, they got upset. Well, they were like, well, this is post-comedy. This is what comedy is now. You don't need to be funny. So I'm like, okay, so you yell at Chappelle and you go, well, he was kind of on his soapbox. You know, where were the punchlines? And I'm like, well, for some reason, when Nanette came out, you didn't need punchlines. And then when Shane Gillis does this thing, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's just like, now you're worried about the attempt. It's like, that's what we're trying to protect, the attempt. That's what's kind of ironic about this whole thing. We're trying to protect the attempt. Sometimes your attempt isn't funny. It's just like, you might attempt to do a flip. You don't do it. It's not a flip, but it's an attempt. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, you're trying to act like you're being open-minded about the thing, but you're really not. Because even if he said these gay slurs, the racial slurs, and they got a laugh, then your point would be, well, see, this is why this is a problem. People are laughing at this kind of stuff, and we need to change this and that. And then people were like, well, the apology he gave wasn't good enough. And I had to tell people, my friends, like, look, it doesn't matter if the apology was good or not anyway, because you wouldn't have accepted it anyway. It wouldn't have mattered. It's just, people enjoy watching people beg and plead for their lives with their mind already made up from the get-go. Like, I'm pulling the trigger. People, you see it in movies, man. Like, the bad guy who just can't kill the person, which is bad enough. He has to have them beg. He has to watch them cry and tell them, don't do this, I have kids. And he can laugh, and he's got the gun pointed at the head. They have to do it. But in those movies, it always comes around. At some point, they always find themselves looking down the barrel of that gun and looking like, oh, shit, this is basically what I put people through. Wow, this sucks being on the other end. And I feel that's what's going to happen to a lot of these people. They take too much. They seem to enjoy taking people down a little too much. And I had a conversation with a comic in D.C., and they made a great point. They go, hey, you're not entitled to a comedy career. And I go, you know what? You're right. But make sure you tell all these leftist feminists that they're not entitled to a comedy career. So why do we have to put all these different demographics on shows if you're not entitled to a comedy career? Why is that? So don't say this person's not entitled, but then you turn around and act entitled because you fit into a certain group where you feel like you're being underrepresented and you should be put on more shows. You're feeling entitled. to be put on the show. So, I don't know. This just seems kind of hypocritical. And another thing with the whole situation, it's like, look, I get it. We all make choices in our lives that we may possibly have to pay for in the end. In some cases, very severely. In some cases, not so severely. But it's just like it's one of those things where you made your bed, now you have to lie in it. He kind of aligned himself with a certain group of people within comedy that would definitely make him less likable or unlikable or viewed in a certain light by the mainstream scene in comedy. When you get labeled an alt-right comic, you get labeled a Trump comic or just all these weird labels. And yeah, I guess he kind of paid for it, but I think he's gonna be fine. I really think he'll be fine. He's a funny dude. It's just like we've all said and done things we kind of regret. As comics, we throw shit at the wall, and I get it. But one of my biggest issues with this whole thing is, who are you to out somebody, if you will, if you want to use that term? You know, I just don't feel like it was this guy Seth Simon's place to do this, especially if you really call yourself a comic. I just I'm not cool with that at all. Now, if SNL did their, proper, if they did their due diligence and vetted, and then they saw all this stuff and they go, hey, based on some things that we saw, I don't think this will be a good fit. It's like, that's cool, because the people who are hiring him are the ones that are, they're doing the investigation. But just when you have random people who, they call themselves a comic slash blogger slash, journalist. And they feel like it's their duty to just out other comics because they're not getting opportunities. I take a big issue with that. I really do. I just don't like people randomly digging in other people's past and then not have your past digged. I almost had my own version of flued out. I'm just not a fan of it because... Yeah, if Seth Simons, he would probably have a shit fit if somebody really dug into his past and found something that they go, hey, this isn't really woke as you think, you know? And it's just like when you get on a high horse, man, people want to take you down. People really want to take you down. And after SNL decided to part ways with Shane, people started posting all these like old sketches that they did where like Dana Carvey was doing like a quote unquote offensive Asian impression and voice. So like, are we going to delete all that stuff now? Are we getting rid of all that? Like said Dana Carvey. I mean, he has a new show. No, actually that's David Spade. I'm being freaking racist. Jesus Christ. But yeah, it should Dana Carvey or whoever else did something offensive on SNL back in 87, should they be allowed to be in entertainment now? Should they have to apologize? Are they given, what are they supposed to do? My biggest issue is the self-righteousness of this whole movement of trying to be progressive. Who are you to out somebody? You have a past too. Now, if it's an actual journalist and this is what they do, I'm a little bit more okay with it because they really have no skin in the game. But if you call yourself a comic or you're in comedy and you're doing this, that's bullshit, man. And I get it. He said what he said, but it's really not up to you to make that call. It's really not. And at some point in time, even that guy, people are going to come for him for something he has done or said. And who are you going to turn to? Because now if you can't turn to a journalist because they just want the story, and you can't turn to other comics because you outed another comic. Yeah. And another thing that I have to admit that is messed up, it's just like we all focused on the Shane Gillis thing, but we also had two other comics get the job of a lifetime. You know, say what you might want to say, or I'm sorry, say what you will about SNL. I'm sorry, I'm kind of tired. My brain is all over the place. But say what you want. But no matter what, getting on SNL is absolutely huge. It's a huge accomplishment, and they should be proud. And we're all kind of assholes for really focusing on the bad and not taking the time out to go, hey, you know what? That sucks, but everybody, let's just take a second and go, hey, you two, congratulations. I hope you're great. This is fantastic for you guys. This is going to change your lives. Good luck, you know? Yeah, but unfortunately, it is sad that he's not going to be on the show, but it is what it is. He made his bed. He aligned himself, and that's part of being an adult. And I think this is a good lesson for everybody, but especially younger comics. Now that this is really a thing, you got to watch your social media. It's not 10 years ago where it's just like people looked at comics as these like outsiders who could be irreverent and that could come into, you know, a morning show and be all crazy and people be okay with it because it's like, oh, it's just a comic. Now it's just like, now you go on the morning show or a podcast and now you have to act like you're in broadcasting and you have to obey all these rules and stuff. And that was to me, that's what was cool about being a comic. Is just like, you're in entertainment, but you're kind of not in it. And you can say what you want. You can be irreverent. You can say fucked up things. And people kind of liked it. They thought it was cool because we were the ones saying shit that was truthful. And we could say it how we wanted to and it not get you in trouble. I felt like that was a cool thing about being a comedian that is slowly going away. And that's just the way it is, I guess. I don't like it. I'll fight it tooth and nail. But that's just how it is. And you just got to learn to play by these new rules. And if you can, try to slow roll the shit as long as possible, man. Try to slow roll it as long as possible. Because once people take one thing away, they're gonna start taking more and more away. And what's funny is all these leftist people, once you get rid of all the bad words, you don't want racist white guys and misogynists saying, guess what? All the stuff that you think is cool to say, that's coming down next. So just remember that shit. So, yep. Weird week. I got through it. But, shit, I went over my time. But there's a show. That's a show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. If you want a shirt, I got it posted on my Instagram and on my Facebook. Don't Tread on Comedy, $25. Hit me up. I'm out. Peace.